Tango and here.
I have done the scripture reading already. Yes, sir. Okay. So before we turn to our scripture reading, have you also done your BMC?
Not yet. Okay. Can we turn our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3? We'll be reading the verse for Bible memorization, verse 27. Okay, we'll memorize verse 27, but we will do this later. Just let's read verse 27 and 28. Let's read this together. This will give you a context of Job chapter 29, which I believe you just read. Okay, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 27 and 28. Okay, are we all there? Okay, let's read together. Ready? Begin. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, whether it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it by thee. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Okay, so please keep a finger here. Okay, you can keep, just put a little bookmark, because this will be our BMC. And now turn with me to Job, the book of Job, chapter 29, which you have read just now. Okay, so I'd like to explain Job 29 and the background. Now, in Job chapter 29, Job is giving a response, talking about his life. Before he had all these sufferings, when his 10 children were taken from him, before all his animals and all his wealth and his health was lost. Now he said, oh, verse 2, that I were as in months past, as in the days when God preserved me, when he was still well. When God's candle, when his candle shined upon my head, and when by his light, God's light, I walk through darkness. Now he talked about the day he wished, oh Lord, I wish I can go back to that day when I was prosperous, I was well, because now he is suffering. And as you know, today's topic is eyes to the blind. Job is going to present his life when he was healthy, and let's carry on looking down. What did he do when he was healthy? Verse 4, as I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle. Now, this is a way of saying when I had very close communion with God, almost as if God was talking to me in my tent, my tabernacle, and we could share secrets. Not the secret that you have, you know, whispering secrets, but sharing a close communion. Right? You only tell secrets to people you trust, right? People you're close with. So that's what he means. When I was close to God. Verse 5, when the Almighty was yet with me, when my children were about me, when I washed my steps with butter, and the rock poured me out rivers of oil. Okay, in verse 5, it's clear, when his children were still with him. Now his 10 children have all been taken home. In verse 6, he said, when I was prosperous, when I was blessed, I could wash my steps with butter. Now, where do you get butter from? You get it from cow's milk, right? Or the sheep, or you get it from animals. And butter is considered the good stuff you can get. Okay, butter. It's like the pure oil. This is what, in old days, this would be. If you have a lot of butter, you can make a lot of food. So butter is a sign of wealth. He had so much butter produced from the animals, he could wash his steps of his house. Not literally, but he meant it as a poetic way. I was so blessed that I have plenty in my house. Enough butter to wash the steps if I needed to. And the rock, the ground, poured me out rivers of oil. It means when he grew plants, the olive trees where you get your oil, these were so much in abundance. You can get plenty of oil, olive oil, from the ground because the fruits were bearing well. But now he has nothing. Okay, so what did Job do in those days? Verses 7, he says, when I went out to the gate through the city, when I prepared my seat in the street. Now, this part, Job is going to talk about his life as a judge. Okay, Job was not only a rich man, he was a judge. And what did he do when he was a judge? Now, this is what we want to learn. How he was eyes to the blind. Okay, let's start from verse 7. When I went out to the gate through the city, he walked through the city to the gate. And the gate is where the elders or the leaders of the city will sit. And there, when there are problems, the people will come to look for them, discuss, and then the elders and the judges will make a decision. And he prepared his seat there. The young men saw me and hid themselves. And the aged arose and stood up. Now, when do you stand up for somebody? When your teacher walks into the classroom, when someone important comes in, when the VIP comes in, please rise, everyone will rise. Then when the person has taken his seat, please be seated, right? You see this. Now, if the young men see him and hide themselves, and the old men stand up when he passes by in the street, what does it tell you? It tells you that Job is highly respected. So much so, even the old men, the aged, the wise people, when they see him come, oh, Job is coming, we need to stand up. We need to show him respect. The princes, verse 9, they refrain from talking. It's as if they were just talking, the leaders among themselves. But when Job came, they refrained from talking. They laid their hand on their mouth. The nobles, those who are like the kings, the queens, those who are royalty with power, they held their peace. They stopped talking as well. And their tongue cleaved to the roof of their mouth. Verse 11, when the ear heard me, then it blessed me. When the eye saw me, it gave witness to me. Because I delivered the poor that cried, and the fatherless, and him that had none to help him. So verse 11 and 12 tell us that when the people heard the words of Job, they blessed him. When they saw him coming through, they gave witness, they gave attention to him. Now, why did Job have so much honor? Is it because he's rich? No. It's because of what he did in verse 12. Why did everybody honor him, stand up, keep quiet when he came, and bless him? Because he delivered the poor that cried, and the fatherless, and him that had none to help him. It is because of Job's care, concern, and what he did for the people, that they have deep respect for him. Now, let's pause for a moment and think, okay, why? What's so special about helping the fatherless? What's so special about helping the poor? Now, maybe in today's day and age, it'd be probably hard for us to understand what does it mean to be fatherless. I think everybody here has a father. Father is still alive. And even if there are families, you know, who don't have a father, just a mother at home, things can move, right? You can still survive. But we need to remember in Job's day, this is a long time ago, who were the dominant people in society? Was it the men or the women? It was the men, right? What power or what ability does a woman have? Quite limited. She doesn't have a lot of, like, say, she can go and work, earn money like the way we do. In those old days, society, what was the type of work they did? Farming, hard work, building, construction. All this needed men. And the women were often kept at home and they look after the home and the children. And so when the man dies, the fatherless, when the father dies, the family falls into big trouble. Because the woman cannot possess the land. The men have to be the one. Right? You pass down in the old tradition, even in China, you think about Chinese tradition. You have this saying, 重男轻女, right? You honor the male and then you give less priority to the female. That still happens. Now imagine that is the case. So there will be people who are poor, people who are fatherless, and people who are like widows. What are widows? Widows are those who the husband has passed away. Why is life difficult for them? Okay. Now, quickly just turn with me. I'll give you an example from the Bible. Turn to 2 Kings, a few books behind, 2 Kings chapter 4. Okay. We just looked at a few verses of a case of a very sad lady. She is a widow. And you look what happens to her. And why? It helped you. Hopefully it will help you to understand why what Job did was so great when he delivered the poor. Okay, 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1, 2. Just two verses. Okay? I'll read for you. 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Now, there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. She is a widow. And thou knowest that thy servant, my husband, did fear the Lord. And now the creditor. The creditor is the one who lent money. It's come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. What does this mean? Her husband borrowed money. Maybe you need to borrow money to buy some seeds, grain, to sow, to start your crops. But husband died. And they owe money. Maybe the crops were not successful. They ran into trouble. Now they owe money, but she can't pay. So the creditor, the one who's lent the money, is coming to say, you need to pay back. And then she's got nothing to pay back. She pleads for mercy. And these are men, big strong men, who come over and say, no, we want the money, or else we're gonna put you to jail, bring you before the judges. And they say, if you can't pay, you give us your two sons. Anybody here want to be a slave? Can't afford to pay for bills, so work in somebody else's house? It's not a nice thing, right? To say, okay, I had to be somebody's slave, bondman, and pay the bills. And Elisha said to her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house? And she said, thy handmaid hath not anything in the house. She has zero. Otherwise, she would have paid. Now, you have in the... Thank God we have so many things in the Qin household. It's a lot of things, right? Very comfortable place. But this woman, when she went into her house and told Elisha, I have nothing to pay. Save what? A pot of oil. What is the oil useful for? Cook. It's to survive. It's to make food. It's not worth anything much. But it's that's the only thing she has left. A pot of oil. And we know the story. Elisha made a miracle. She said, borrow pots. And pour the pot. And the oil never ran out. And she could sell the oil to pay the debt. But this tells you the picture. There are people who are debt poor in that time. Now imagine that these people are coming to Job. That they're asking Job, help. We owe money, we cannot pay. This person is very unreasonable. I've been cheated, for example. And what would Job do? Okay, now go back to Job 29. Job 29, verse 12. Job delivered the poor that cried, and the fatherless, and him that had none to help him. So this is the first point we want to learn from Job. Even though he is rich and powerful, these people have nothing to offer him. What can a poor lady do for you if you do her a favor? Now, most people would think, I do you a favor, you owe me one next time, you do a favor for me, okay? I scratch your back, you scratch my back. I do you one, you owe me one. Now, Job did this for the poor. What can the poor offer to him? Maybe a pot of oil. But even that pot of oil, she's got nothing to give to him. But why did Job do this? Out of the goodness of his heart. Job was a good man. So we want to learn from him. He delivered the poor that cried and the fatherless. Let's look down to the next point. Verse 13. The blessing of him that was ready to perish came upon me, and I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. Because of what he did, they bless him. When they think of him, they praise the Lord for him, and they sing for joy. Verse 14. And Job says, I put on righteousness, and it clothed me. My judgment was a robe and a diadem. So Job used some examples to illustrate how righteous he was. He was not only kind to the poor, he was also righteous as a judge, as a leader. He put on, like clothes, righteousness, and it clothed him. And my judgment was as a robe. I wore a righteous judgment is what when people see me, they remember me. And a diadem. A diadem is a crown. I was eyes to the blind, and feet was I to the lame. Now we know this is not literal. Job is not helping blind men to cross the street and carry lame people. But he's using it in a poetic way. He said, those who are unable to help themselves, can a blind man help himself to walk and see? He can't, right? He needs help. Can a lame person walk over to somewhere? He can't. He needs help. So when Job said this, I was eyes to the blind, I was feet to the lame. Basically, he said, I helped those who needed help. Verse 16, I was a father to the poor. And remember, I said the fatherless, they have no one to provide for them, and there's very difficult for them to find solution when there's no one, no male in the family to be the leader, to work. I was a father to the poor, and the cause which I knew not, I searched out. Now this is talking about, remember, he's a judge, he's a ruler in, sitting at the gates. There'll be people saying that this person owes money, this person didn't pay, make him pay. She borrowed $10,000, she needs to pay $10,000, but then she's got no money. Does she really owe $10,000? Is it because that they've been charging exorbitant interest? The interest is 1% per day, and then it keeps going up and up. Things like this happen. And what did Job say? The cause which I knew not, I'm not sure, I make sure I find out. And verse 17 says what he does when he finds out. And I break the jaws of the wicked, I pluck the spoil out of his teeth. He is telling a picture of these people who abuse the poor, that they are like wild animals, beasts. We need to break their jaws because they have big strong teeth to eat up all the poor and all those who are defenseless. Now, do you remember this lady called Ruth? Ruth, the Moabitess? She was a widow, remember? In the book of Ruth. Okay, we don't have to turn there, I'll just tell you. Ruth was a Moabitess, her husband passed away. And her mother-in-law was Naomi. Naomi's husband also passed away. So there were two ladies, one old, Naomi, and Ruth, the younger one. Both were widows. When they went back to Jerusalem, how did they provide for themselves? Do you remember somebody going to the field to pick up grain? That was Ruth, right? Ruth picked up the grain. Now, the Lord was very kind in the when he set up the nation of Israel. He said that the farmers who go through the harvest only go through it once. What drops on the floor, you are not to pick up. You are supposed to leave behind. Or if, for example, you pluck off all the rice that comes off, the grain, then you forgot one stalk here. You do not go back to it. You just carry on. This you leave behind for the widows, the poor. But it's hard work, right? The widow, it doesn't mean the widow gets a free meal, just go and just collect. They still have to go there, harvest like anyone else, and go home and cook. They have to do the work. So these poor people, it's not that they want to have an easy life. They want to have a dignified life. They want to work hard. But there will be people who don't care for them, and people who would do a second round of harvest, clear everything, and then there's nothing left for the poor. Because if you think of it, if you're like a business-minded person, I go through once, I left behind 10%. Naturally, right? You don't see everything. You just keep moving. Ah, miss something. Go through one more time. I will have extra 10% to sell. I have more profits for my family. But what did God say? God's commandment said, you leave them behind. So, in the book of Ruth, you will see that the Boaz was a very kind man. He told them, leave her alone. Don't disturb her. Because when she's coming to the field to pluck, the other harvestmen are looking at her. What is she doing? Oh, she's taking some. And Boaz said, leave her alone. And he even gave her extra. Boaz was a kind man. But there are many people who are unkind, selfish. Now, also think about the judges. Can you think of a good judge in the Bible? A judge who, that means who rules and makes a wise decision, protects the poor. Or kings who protect the poor. You can think of maybe a few good ones. Solomon, maybe. David, maybe. But there are many, many more wicked kings who, when they have power in their hand, they abuse it. If you look at today's society, how many good governments are there? Governments who, leaders who give what they promise, and then they are not corrupt. You know corruption, right? Corruption is a very poisonous thing. Because when there's corruption in the system, it breeds corruption. Corruption just keeps growing and growing. For example, okay, corruption is the case when you go to Malaysia, there was once it happened to us, we brought our church camp books into a box. And then when they opened the box, they saw the books, it's just printed, no? Like this kind of normal song books printed, right? They flip, they say they saw the word God. They saw the word Allah, and they saw the word Tuhan. These are Malay words. We were going to Pontianak, not Pontianak, we were going to Cebu. The person was not very happy, So because it's got the name God in there. So he said, oh, this we have to confiscate. Then he asked, you pay $100, I give it to you. I'll let you pass through. This is Malaysia. It's not uncommon if you ask your parents. These things happen very often. So they want money. The other time also, another church camp, we were bringing the another set of church camp books, this time to KL. Deacon James's father's car, Deacon James Fu. His father was driving it. Because his father was driving a Mercedes, they stopped him, they took the books away, and they asked for money. So he bargained with them, because it was too much. If we lose the church camp books, we had no more for the people. We can't print in time. So they asked for 50 Singapore dollars. He said no. And he said, I'll give you 50 ringgit. Three times lower. So in the end, they settled for 50 ringgit. But it tells you something, right? Money. They want money because they know it's a good chance. You need it. You need the books. So ask for a bit of money. And this is just one simple thing. There's a lot more corruption out there. Thank God in Singapore we don't have so much, but that doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Everywhere there's a little bit of corruption. You do me a favor lah, I'll do you one next time. Help each other, bend the rules. But does Job do this? He's a righteous man. He said, the cause which I knew not, I searched. And then when he finds out who is the wicked one, he says, I break the jaws. Not literally, but he exercised justice. He will apprehend them, catch them, and use whatever power as the judge in that land, the leader, to punish them and to deliver the widow, the poor, the fatherless from them. Because usually these poor people are the target. You can abuse them. For example, if you are the poor widows, let's say Grace. Okay, Grace needs money. She's a widow. For example, okay, she comes to borrow money from me, and then I say, okay, I'll help you. I give you a special rate, 10% interest per week. Special rate, very cheap already. She's desperate. And then she goes to Wesley. Wesley is another one who lends money. But me and Wesley, we pack up. If he give 5% interest, I give 10%. Of course, then somebody else will undercut him. Maybe Johan will undercut, say, 2% interest. So we want to sustain our business. We all say 10, 10, 10. Okay? Always keep the price high. Otherwise, we sabo each other. You can do this, right? So she's desperate. 10%, 10%, 10%. So she borrows money. 10% a week? Is it a lot of money? In fact, the Bible already said, when God told the Israelites, if someone is poor, lend them without interest. And even if they borrow money from you or they need help, every 7 years, you cancel the debt on the seventh year. You see how the Lord wanted to set up a nation of people who are kind? Yes, you need to borrow money, please borrow. But please don't charge interest because you're helping a fellow brother. And be prepared to wipe out the debts. If they cannot pay after 7 years, release the debt. And on the Jubilee year, the 50th year, the 7, right? 49 year, the 50th year, also release free of their debts. So those who are slaves, they are born slaves, they can sell themselves into slavery to pay. It's not wrong. The Bible allowed it because after 7 years, or at the 7 year, which means even if you're halfway, at the 7 year, all will be free. See, the Lord is such a kind and a loving God that even He allows a system for people to help each other, borrow money. If you cannot pay, try your best to pay. And if you really, really cannot pay, never mind, let the debt go. But you know that in our modern society, and even then, there will be people who don't let go of the debts. You owe me means you owe me. Your two sons will become to be bondmen. And why was that widow so fearful when the two sons would become bondmen? If they were going to come back to her in a few years' time, she says, okay, I can't pay, I offer my children, why not? But there must be something wrong with that system. People were sold into slavery and will just continue to be slaves all the days of their life. So that tells you the greed of men. But Job is not like that. Job is a righteous judge. Okay, let's move down quickly. Verse 18. Then I said, I shall die in my nest, and I shall multiply my days as the sand. My root was spread out by the waters, meaning to say, my root is top, as if he's a tree. My root, my life is very well spread out, very well nourished, like a tree beside the waters, the roots beside the water. And the dew, the moisture, lay all night upon my branch, very well watered. My glory was fresh in me, and my bow was renewed in my hand. As a ruler holding a bow, like a symbol of power, I was strong as a ruler. Unto me, men gave ear and waited and kept silence at my counsel whenever he gave advice. After my words, they spake not again, and my speech dropped upon them like the rain. And they waited for me as for the rain, and they opened their mouth wide as for the latter rain. So basically Job said, the Lord blessed him so much that when he gave judgment, when he told the people things, what he said, they didn't argue. Unto me, men gave ear and waited and kept silence at my counsel. So once he pronounced the judgment, they all accepted it. And they saw his words like refreshing rain to a dry ground. It dropped on them and they waited for it like a dry ground. They opened their mouth to take it up because it was wisdom in those words. And then the last two verses say, if Job laughed on them, if he had a joke with them, they believed it not, because they said in their hearts, is he serious or is he joking? Because they take his words very seriously. And the light of my countenance they cast not down. And Job was so highly held in regard that when he cracked a joke with them, they were not sure. Is he real? Sure or not, or he's just joking with us. That's how serious they took him. I chose out their way and set chief and dwelt as a king in the army, as one that comforteth the mourners. Like a king in the army. Highly respected, and one that comforteth the mourners. Now, so Job paint a very, you could ask yourself, why is Job boasting about himself, right? Why is he saying such things that, oh, I did this, I did that? Now, it's because one of his friends falsely accused him. In Job 22, you can just turn a few pages back, and verses 5 to 10, one of his friends blamed him. As you know, in the book of Job, he had three friends who accused him and said, you are full of sin, that's why you are suffering. Okay, I'll just read for you Job 22, verse 5. This is the words of Eliphaz. Eliphaz said, is not thy wickedness great, Job, and your iniquities infinite? For thou hast taken a pledge from thy brother for naught. For no reason you take a pledge. What's a pledge? It's a deposit. You take a huge deposit and strip the naked of their clothing. He's got nothing to pay you. You say, give me your clothes. It will be your deposit. And he will sleep in the cold because there's nothing to keep him warm. Thou hast not given water to the weary to drink, and thou hast withholden bread from the hungry. See, he says, Job, you're suffering like this because you've been very selfish. There'll be poor people who come to you and you turn them away empty-handed. But as for the mighty men, people like you, he had the earth. You are rich. You were, and the honorable man dwelt in it. You are the leader. You took everything, but all for yourself. Thou sent away, widows away empty, and the arms of the fatherless have been broken. And you have made them powerless. Not that the arms are broken, but your arms are needed to do things, right? You have taken away all that they have. They can't even help themselves. It's as if they have no arms. Therefore, snares are round about thee. All these punishments, all these sicknesses, all the pain, your children, all these are taken from you because of your sin. But is this true? Did Job really do these things? Now we have Job's own testimony. He told his friends, you are false accusers. I have been an honorable man. So Job is not boasting. He's defending his name. Okay, so as we close here, I'd like to ask you to think about how we can be eyes to the blind. How we can be feet to the lame. Now, we are not leaders, right? We're not like Job, a leader of the city. And the Bible says he was one of the greatest men of the East. We're nobody. We're just ordinary people. How can we be eyes to the blind? How can we be feet to the lame? We're not sitting in powers like Job. We can break the teeth of the wicked. We can deliver the poor. We can help widows. We don't have much money. We are just very basic, ordinary things. But this is not, we are not to follow the example of Job in his capacity, but we are to take the spirit that he had. And what was that spirit? The spirit was a one that always wanted to help. Now remember that the Lord Jesus Christ talked about a widow and a rich man who came to give their offering, right? The widow gave how much? 2 pence, right? 2 mites, small, 2 cents. But the rich man gave of what he had. It was a lot. But what did the Lord command? It says the widow is blessed because she gave all that she had, but the rich man only of the abundance that he had. It's like a percentage. Okay. What do I want to say? It is not the amount that is important. It's not delivering the poor lady who has got nothing, who is being abused, like Job. Even the small things matter to God. And the small things comes from a heart. And God looks at the heart, not on the amount. So, one of the things I'd like you to discuss with your discussion question is you have discussion questions later. Yes? Would that be time for discussion? Yes? Okay, the question will be, how have you used your resources that the Lord has given to you to be a blessing? In the own little ways that we have, the places where God has put us, how can we be a blessing? Now remember, as I said, it's not the size of the thing. You don't have to make a huge impact. As long as you have done your little bit, God sees the intent and He blesses. You can be a blessing, you can be a help to your parents, to your grandparents, to your friends at school. There may be people who need help. You may be the genius in a certain subject, you may be really good, and you may be the one to help. Now, that person may have no means of repaying the favor to you. That person is totally in need of help. Then all the more, this person really needs your help, right? There's nothing like Job. This poor lady has nothing to offer to Job. But why did he help her? Of the goodness of his heart. Because that is the spirit of generosity that the Lord has given to us. Also remember the example of Christ. Christ is a far superior example compared to Job. Now when Christ healed, did he heal only the believers? Those who were faithful to him? Who did he heal? He healed the ungrateful. He also healed the centurion's, the high priest servant, Malchus, who came with a sword to arrest him. Remember, Peter drew the sword and cut off the high priest servant's ear. That was Malchus. And what did Jesus do? Heal him. Who did he heal? He healed the people who came to arrest him. That is the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's a blessing to even his enemies. The Bible is full of this type of examples. So Job is just one of them. We also have the example of the Good Samaritan. Remember the Good Samaritan in the parable that Jesus taught? The Samaritan and Jews are enemies. And the high priest, the Levite, all walked past the injured man who was dying. Only the Samaritan came to help him. He can be a blessing. So you can be a blessing too. In the small little ways. So it's what I'd like you to do for your discussion. Look into your own little circle that the Lord has placed you with in the places you are, in home or at school, and see how you can be a blessing to others, how you can help others using the resources that God has given to you. Okay, let's close with a word of prayer and let's ask the Lord to help us to be blessings to others. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the scriptures which teaches us how to be salt and light of this earth. We also thank you for the example of Job, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, how they have so sacrificially given of themselves to help others, even though there is no personal benefit to themselves. All this to be a good testimony. We pray, O Lord, that you will help us to be mindful, to be blessings to others. Help us to use what you have given to us, whether it be our time, our talent, to help others and to lift them up so that we can glorify your name as we do good works and others may see Christ in our lives. So Lord, I pray for all the teens gathered here. Thank you that we can have this Sabbath day of rest to come and study your word and reflect on our lives and share with each other our testimonies. Help us, O Lord, to be good witnesses for you, to be good ambassadors for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We ask and pray for your blessings on this retreat. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, thank you. So let's, in closing, read the memory verse one time, then I guess you have your own DMC to sum it up. So, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 27. Let's read this twice, and then we say one time for memory. So, very familiar verse. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 27. All there? we read it twice, and then the third time we try to save our memory. Okay, ready? Proverbs 3:27. Ready? Go. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thy hand to do it. Okay, one more time. Proverbs 3:27. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thy hand to do it. Okay, and now for memory, if you can. Proverbs 3:27. Ready? Go. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Okay, please revise later if you have time. Okay, I'll pass the time back to Tinscom.
They gather around the dining table.